Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
We're going to ask our guests. It's Roddy Jones of the ACC Network. Roddy, a belated Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Scott. I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you coming on, bud. Roddy, before we dive into the Atlantic Coast Conference, I want to ask you this. First of all, how many bowl games did you work this year?
Well, due to COVID, I only worked one. I was supposed to work two in person and then do some stuff for the semifinal games on the MegaCast, but I got COVID that week, so I got sidelined for the latter part of my assignment.
You're good now, though, right?
Yeah, you know, it's the typical, you know, mild flu symptoms. Mild flu still are not fun, but yeah, I'm all good.
Well, what game did you do?
So I did the Gasparilla Bowl between UCF and Florida.
Ooh, okay, yeah, man. I liked my biggest takeaway from that, Roddy, was Gus Malzahn's comments after the game. He didn't hold back.
No, he didn't. He's really excited about what they can do at UCF, and I think he should be. I mean, that's a school with a massive enrollment. You've got a massive student body. They've got money. They're going to the Big 12, a Big 12 that's going to be wide open. And so I think you're going to have BYU, Cincinnati, and UCF in particular joining that league thinking, hey, man, we could run this thing if things start to go our way. And of those three schools, UCF has the best recruiting base of all of them. So Gus Malzahn's very excited about what they can do, and he should be.
Yeah, and that was a pretty good game. And, Roddy, also, you did a lot more color analyst work this season. It seemed like every time I turned on the TV, there you are doing something. Was there a particular game that you'll go forward saying, you know what, I'm glad I was in the booth on that game?
It's got to be the UNC-NC State game at the end of the year. And it was one of a number of games that I had that were really good. I mean, I had Virginia-Miami earlier where Miami drives down, clanks the game-winning field goal off the upright, loses that game. I had UNC and Pitt in overtime, which was a fantastic game, back and forth. Pitt jumped out, UNC stormed back, goes to overtime. Pitt scores in the first overtime or in the first part of the first overtime, and then the heavens open up, and UNC never had a shot. But Carolina being up 9 with, like, what was it, a minute and 40-something seconds left, and then being down with a minute left after two touchdowns in 26 seconds from NC State, that's the one that'll stand out probably for the rest of my career.
Yeah, that was Thanksgiving weekend, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was that Friday.
I remember watching that game, and it was just so weird. There was a lot of weird stuff happening in that game. I think there was a blocked punt maybe earlier in the game, and it seemed the momentum kept going back and forth. But I was shocked, and I think that game was a perfect example of the way the whole season went for UNC. They had a big lead. They were expected to win, but they couldn't get it to the finish line, kind of the way that the Tar Heels couldn't meet expectations going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, you mentioned that game, and the weirdness of it was NC State completely dominated the first half. I mean, they had turnovers. They forced turnovers. They blocked a punt for a touchdown. They were up like 14-6 at halftime, something really weird. And it was a small lead where Matt and I were talking. Matt Berry was with me, and we were like, this feels like it should be a lot bigger lead for NC State. But ultimately for Carolina, what doomed them was what doomed them all year. I mean, lack of communication on the back end, blown assignments. The defense really let them down. I mean, they just played a team in the bowl game that was the second worst offense in the SEC, ahead of only Vanderbilt. So the fact that they gave up over 500 yards of total offense to that South Carolina offense, you had a quarterback, had not thrown a pass all year, who went 9-for-9 in the game, that really blew that thing open. And then it ended up being a game that really wasn't all that competitive. It was a disappointing finish to the season for Carolina. And I think a lot of people are going to look at the fact that they were a top 10 team preseason and look at it as like a complete disappointment. They, to me, were overrated going into the year. I thought they were an 8, maybe a 9-win team coming into the season. But they were worse than even I anticipated, particularly on the defensive side of the football. I thought they'd be a lot better there.
Joined by Roddy Jones, ACC Network. Follow him on Twitter at Roddy Jones 20. And, Roddy, I'm sure you heard me before we brought you on give you bowl performance of the ACC this season, 2-4 bowl season, 2-10 over the past 2 years, no team in the college football playoff. Is that who the ACC is? Is it a one-team league? Is Clemson still the standard bearer for the league, or do you see something different going into 2022?
I mean, Clemson is still the standard bearer for the league, and really that's the thing that the league was missing this year, because I think if you have that, the league is perceived in a much different way, because you have three other teams, really, that are top 25 teams, Pitt, Wake Forest, and NC State. And honestly, if Miami plays in their bowl game and they win, they might sneak in to the top 25 as well, with the way that they finished the season in particular. So I think bowl season's a little unfair to completely judge the league, whether it goes well or not, because so much of bowl season is about matchups. And the matchups for the ACC this year, a lot of the better matchups for the league got canceled, to be completely honest with you. I mean, you look at NC State playing UCLA. I thought that was a really good matchup for the league in terms of winning a bowl game. You look at Miami playing Washington State. I thought that was a really good matchup for the league in bowl season. So when you look at it from a totality standpoint, I think it's a little unfair to judge the league based on that alone, because you have games like the Pitt-Michigan State game. I mean, obviously, Kenny Pickett doesn't play. Yes, Kenneth Walker doesn't play. But Michigan State was the worst passing defense in the entire country. And not only do you not have Kenny Pickett, but then you also lose Nick Patty, who was the backup quarterback on the first series to a broken collarbone. Do you really judge the league based on the fact that you lost the game to a Michigan State team, had two outstanding receivers play the entire game with their starting quarterback, when you were playing with a third-string quarterback? I don't think that's fair to the league. So I think it's a little bit unfair to judge an entire conference. We were all dancing on the SEC's grave when they were 0-4 and then 1-5 in bowl season, without quite contextualizing the fact that the SEC was half the SEC was really bad, which is why they all went 6-6 and they all made bowl games. And the rest of the SEC probably beat 90% of the rest of the country, including Ole Miss, who lost Matt Corral and all that stuff. So bowl season's a little unfair without the context around the game.
Roddy, outstanding season for Wake Forest, 11-3, Atlantic Division title, went to a 6th straight bowl game. Can Dave Clawson keep that going into next season?
Yeah, I think so. Look, this has been the most consistent team, most consistent program in the ACC over the last, 6 or 7 years? And I would say second most to Clemson. So, yeah, he's definitely going to keep it going. I mean, they have done an excellent job of developing depth on the offensive line in particular. They've done an excellent job of developing the quarterback position and getting really good quarterback play, and that's not going to change. Even though Christian Beal-Smith has jumped in the portal, I mean, they survived the Kenneth Walker transfer last year. Still going to be really talented at receiver. That offense is going to be one of the best in the conference next year. And defensively, like, they have to get better. I don't know that they can be as bad as they were defensively in stretches this year. So, yeah, I absolutely think they're going to keep it going. This is a program that's going to be a consistent, 7-8-9 win team year in and year out, because Dave Clawson has built it into something that's sustainable. So I almost think it's unfair at this point to ask if they're going to continue to sustain the level of success that they've had, because they've proven they are. Now, they're not going to be an 11-win team next year, but they certainly could be 8-9, 10-win team.
And, Roddy, before we let you go, I want to get your take on this. It was reported earlier this week by our buddy Larry Williams at Tiger Illustrated that Todd Bates, the recruiting director for the Clemson Tigers, he's going to leave. He's going to be the co-defensive coordinator at Oklahoma. I mean, this is a guy who was the recruiter of the year, according to Rivals, back in 2019. How big of a hit is this to Clemson, and how do you expect Dabo to fill that gap?
I think whenever you lose someone who has the institutional knowledge of the organization and the relationships that he has in recruiting, I think it's a hit. But the whole recruiter of the year thing is always interesting to me, because that guy never comes from, Tennessee. Well, I guess Tennessee is probably a bad example, but he never comes from UCF. Like, the recruiter of the year never comes from any of these schools that don't end up at the top of the recruiting rankings, and those schools are always the same schools. So more than the person, the school is what guys are committing to. The school is why they are able to get these big recruiting classes. I'm not saying Todd Bates isn't an excellent recruiter. I'm not saying that he isn't a difference maker. I just don't think the loss is going to crater Clemson's ability to recruit a top-end prospect. I mean, they've been doing that since C.J. Spiller with Dabo Swinney as the recruiter. So ultimately, I think Clemson's going to be fine on the recruiting trail. They're still one of the premier powers in the country. This class that they have, their most recent class, it has people alarmed a little bit, but I think some of that, it was going to be a small class anyway, and then you had the late change with Brent Venables. I think Clemson's going to be okay, at least in the ACC. Nationally, that's a different question because the talent is starting to really condense itself at a couple of programs. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know that we have the answers to those questions, but Clemson should be okay, at least in the conference.
He's Roddy Jones, ACC Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Roddy Jones. Roddy, buddy, I'm sorry to hear that you were sick. I know you had told me you were a little under the weather. I didn't realize you had COVID, man. My prayers are for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Look, everybody, it seems like everybody has COVID. It's harder to find people that didn't get it during this period of time, it seems like, than did. But I appreciate it, man. Everything and everyone are all good on this end. Just lost a couple of games, so it's all good in the grand scheme of things.
All right, buddy. Get well soon. We'll chat.
Thanks, man.
All right, it's Roddy Jones joining us on the Say Tama Hotline.